Ananda Prabhu, who is residing in Ekta Chakra. On one occasion, he was walking on his most beautiful transcendental village along the small river that flows. It was at that time, perhaps still now, it's called the Jamuna. And it was accepted to be a tributary of the Jamuna, who is the world. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he saw floating in the celestial waters of this river this most beautiful form of Sri Krishna, who Lord Nityananda named Sri Banki Rai. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu personally worshipped this form of Sri Krishna for many, many years. And later on, the worship was handed over to Lord Nityananda's most illustrious and powered son, Virabhadra. When we were in Sri Dhammayapur, we went to the place where Lord Nityananda was married, to the two daughters of Suryadas Sarakhel, Vasudha and Janava. From the womb of Vasudha, the very incarnation of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu took birth in this world as the son of Lord Nityananda. And his name was Virabhadra Gosai. Virabhadra Gosai was the most empowered of all the branches coming from the trunk of the tree of Sri Nityananda. He accepted Sri Janava, his stepmother, as his spiritual master, and was initiated by her. And Virabhadra Gosai built a beautiful temple here for Banki Rai. It was very well preserved up until recently a thunderbolt struck this temple and caused a tremendous amount of damage. So this most auspicious form of Sri Krishna, as you can see, is manifesting such beauty of Goloka, Vrindavan, that whoever sees this transcendental form, how could he ever be attracted to the dry, and distasteful things of this material world? When one drinks the nectar of the beauty of Sri Krishna, that is the process and the only means of becoming eternally detached from material and sense gratification. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vishayava nivadvante niraharasya dehena rasya bhajam rasabhyasya param drisvanivartate, that a man may control his senses and tolerate their urges, but unless he experiences the higher taste of the beauty of Krishna, in due course of time that person must again fall down into gross sense gratification. So Krishna has appeared in these most beautiful forms simply to attract our minds back to his lotus feet. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was none other than Balaramji, was always in the mood of a cowherd boy. So this worshipable form of Sri Krishna appeared in such a way, I don't think we have ever seen a deity that is more manifesting the mood of a cowherd boy than Banki Rai. He appears even to the most mundane eyes to be blissfully dancing with his cows in the groves of Mirjandhara. So Bhakti Maharaj was the life and soul, the worshipable deity of Nityananda Prabhu. And when it came time for Lord Nityananda to leave this world, he came to this place, and during kirtan, dancing, he went up to the altar, and his body merged into the body of Bhakti Maharaj. Just as in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world by entering into the body of Tanta Gopinath, Nityananda Prabhu left this world by entering into the body of Sri Bhankarai. It is described that when Lord Nityananda found Bhakti Rai on Yamuna, he installed the deity here, and shortly after that, Srimati Radharani was found under a tree in a nearby place. So to the left is Sri Radha, and to the right is Janava, the wife of Lord Nityananda. Krishna so kindly appearing in such a beautiful dancing form before us that it will be our service to him to reciprocate by presenting to him our dancing forms today. As you all know, our yatra more or less will end in about 2 hours. This is our last place. We will depart for a lot of us running back to Mayapur, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, and drive right to Calcutta railway station. So really, this most auspicious place is the grand finale of our yatra. So some of you appear to be tired. Some of you appear that you are not very interested anymore in becoming absorbed in kirtan, rather talking about various other subject matters along the side. But please understand that the mercy of Lord Nityananda is the only means of attaining Krishna consciousness. And here, for the next 2 hours only, perhaps in the rest of your life, you'll be in his holy down, begging him for his mercy. And how do you beg? Lord Nityananda, he taught us that the way you beg is to chant with your heart and soul, and you dance with great enthusiasm. That is what will attract the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Mahaprabhu Nandas, Mahaprabhu Nityananda Premanandas, that means Lord Nityananda, he has come to erase all sorrow, to dispel all ignorance, to eradicate all miseries. And Lord Nityananda's special fame was that he would always be very fond of dancing. During the kirtan parties, he would always be the lead dancer. He and Lord Sri Gaurachandra. And it is described that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is always in 4 places. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared this, that whenever his mother, Sachi Devi, would cook, he would appear in that place. Sometimes when Sachi Mata would cook, she would go on the altar afterward. This is after Mahaprabhu took sannyas. She would just have deity of Lord Chaitanya. And she worshipped that deity. And she offered the food to her son. And when she'd come on the altar, it would be gone. And she would think, because she was so humble, she didn't think that the deity was eating it. She would become so humble in her bewilderment that she would think that, my God, I cooked the preparation, it's in the pots, but I forgot to give it to the Lord on the altar. So then she would go back out and put more food from the pots on the plate and then offer it again. This would happen almost every day. She thought, maybe I'm getting old, I'm losing my mind, something. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Damodar Pandit to Navadvip from Puri just to tell his mother that the reason why it's gone every day is because I personally come there to eat it. So don't think anything else. Whatever my mother or Sachimata cooks, I am personally present in that place to eat. Whatever my physical body may be. Of course, he doesn't have physical body. Whatever. But he would always be in his transcendental bhava, in that place. And whenever there was kirtan in the house of Srivas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would manifest there at all times. And whenever Raghava Pandit and his sister Devananti would cook for the Lord, in their house where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always appear personally to accept their offerings. And the fourth place where the Lord is always present is whenever and wherever Lord Nityananda would dance. His dancing was so beautiful and so attractive that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not be anywhere else when Nityananda Prabhu was dancing. And there are many incidences in Chaitanya Charitamrita where the Lord was so far away and the kirtan would start and Lord Sri Nityananda would dance and all of a sudden Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would appear and begin to dance with him. But only Lord Nityananda and a few chosen souls could see this. Of course, Lord Nityananda and all the others would become completely ecstatic, leaping, jumping, dancing, seeing the Lord dancing with them, just appearing out of nowhere. And no one else could understand, what is this tranquil place? Why they are becoming so insane? Because it was only revealed to a few. So, this is the most merciful form of Lord Sri Krishna, the worshipable deity, the most merciful of all avatars, Nityananda Prabhu, who is pleased only by chanting and dancing. So let us, for a few minutes, before we leave the sacred place, have the ecstatic kirtan, which means you have to put your heart and soul into it, not because you like it. Don't think in terms of whether I like it. That is not devotional service. Krishna likes it. Even if you hate it, Krishna likes it. Maybe your feet are sore. Maybe you have not gotten enough sleep. Maybe you have eaten too much prasad. Maybe you're basically just in Maya. These things don't matter. We don't even consider these things. We only consider one thing. Krishna wants me to dance. Krishna wants me to chant. And who's setting the standard? Dancing so nice.
What difference it makes?
Makes a big difference. Sri Sri Nita.
Ananda, 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 Ananda,
Karuna bahundu hi jaan ni paaye Come on,
Prasad, you have to save it. Don't throw it away.
This is a sign
for one day.
Brahman clothing, huh? Brahma Sutra.
Nikai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala Yechayaya Jagata. Srila Narottam Das Thakur is praying for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. He prays, Nikai Pada Kamala, Koti Chandra Shushita, that the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu are most refreshingly cool, like crores and crores of full moons. In the summer night, when there is great heat, the full moon gives cooling, refreshing sensation to both the body and the eyes. But the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are refreshingly cool, like hundreds and millions of such moons. Yechayaya jagata yuga. And the shade of his lotus feet is the only means of attaining relief from the scorching heat of the material existence. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur instructs us that without attaining the mercy coming from the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Nityananda, no one
can understand transcendental lila of Shri Shri Radha Krishna. Nityananda Prabhu, who is the transcendental incarnation of Shri Balaram, appeared as the transcendental brother of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chandas Thakur has prayed, Parama Karuna Pahom Tui Jano Nitai Gorachan. That these two brothers are supremely merciful, Nitai Gorachan. Sababata Sarasiromani Kevala Anandakan. They are the essence, the topmost of all incarnations, because they are giving a process which is simply joyful, chanting, dancing, and feasting. Lord Nityananda Prabhu appeared in this holy land of Ekachakra. Where we are sitting now is the very spot of his birth. Hadai Pandit, his father, was a school teacher. And where this house is right here was the Gurukul of Hadai Pandit, where he would teach. And where the temple is, that was the home of Hadai Pandit, Padmavati. So, we have discussed some of his childhood pastimes previously today. In this way, Lord Nityananda was the light and soul of all the residents of Ekachakra. Everyone in this village lived only for him. His beauty, his compassion, everything about him was all attributable. And therefore, the residents of Ekachakra, they lived exclusively for the purpose of seeing Nityananda Prabhu every day, playing with him, instructing him, or serving him in various ways. With the life himself, it is described that for 12 years, Lord Nityananda performed his divine lila in this holy land of Ekachakra. And then, on one great day, the sannyasi came to this village. And he came to this place, the home of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. And Hadai Pandit, being a very respectable and first-class Brahmin, he offered all courtesies and respect to this sannyasi. Of course, we know in the Vedic culture, a sannyasi is the guru for the society, and therefore, even the Brahmin Brihastas are meant to offer all respects. So Hadai Pandit, when the sannyasi came to his home, he said, my dear sir, whatever I have belongs to you. Whatever I am and whatever I have is only meant for your service. How may I serve? The sannyasi, I would like to take as my assistant your son, Nityananda. When he said that, it was like a thunderbolt striking the heart of Hadai Pandit. He could not believe what he had heard. He was shocked. He was so shocked that he pretended he did not hear what was heard. He said, my dear son, Maharaj, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you nice prasad. I'll give you a nice sitting place. Whatever you want. Mr. Nassim said, I want Nityananda. And then Adai Pandit understood that this is a serious matter. And he began to tremble. He said, Nityananda is my son. I cannot do it without seeing my son. This whole town will dwindle and die without Nityananda. He said, I will give you my house. I will give you my property. I will give you my wife. I'll become your slave for the rest of my life. I'll give up my body even. I'll give anything. But I cannot give up everything. Nitai is my life and soul. The mere thought of being without him is more painful than the most terrible death. Please, take everything. Take everything but leave me to Nitai. And Sanyasi, he said, my dear Adai Pandit, you have promised, you have given your word, you will give me anything. I want you, son. Adai Pandit began to think that Nityananda was his son. And as a father, he had to establish the highest example for his son. Even if it was a very painful and terrible experience. Nityananda witnessed this promise that he gave to the Brahmin. So Adai Pandit felt, if I do not give him away to this Brahmin, to this sannyasi, then my son will be misguided by me. Because as a parent does, a child follows. This is an example for all of you parents. Your actions speak louder than your words. Guruna sasyat, svadivina sasyat, pitana sasyat, yunina sasyat. According to God, you have no right to accept the position of parent unless you train your child to go back to Godhead. If you do not train your child to go back to Godhead, you may be very highly honored by the rest of materialist society, but God spits on you. You're nonsense. You're not worthy of a position of parent. Your duty, when God gives a child to you, it's his child, it's not yours. Everything is the property of God. And it is your duty to raise that child in such a way that that child has all the facilities to go back to God. And what is the facility? That facility is given by the example of the parents. Now, Adai Pandit, he realized that if he lied to a sannyasi, but before his son, this would be a great disservice to his son. So therefore, with his heart throbbing in imminent separation, he said, then you take my life. But know that with him you will take my life. So that sannyasi took the 12-year-old child, Nita, away from home to travel. Can you imagine? Giving your 12-year-old child away to a sannyasi who is going to be no telephone all day, calling you every week. No postal systems. There was no post offices there. No telephone offices. He was gone forever. Who knows where sannyasis go? In those days and stuff. So Nityananda left the 12-year-old with this sannyasi. And together they traveled to all the great holy places in all of India. They went to Ayodhya. They went to Badrinath. They went to Rishikesh, Haridwar, Varanasi, Rameshwaram, Sri Rangam. Goraka. All the places. And finally, after 9 years of traveling, when he was 20 years old, at that time Lord Nityananda, as the fruit of his pilgrimage with this great sannyasi, crowds, they would like to come and stay at Nandanacharya's house. So Lord Nityananda was hiding at the house of Nandanacharya. So one day at the home of Srivas Thakur, Lord Nityananda, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he looked at all of his devotees and he said that the great avatar, Avadruta, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he has come to Navadvipa. I want you to find him. What you should do is you should have Harinam Sankirtan through the streets and you should attract him to reveal himself to you by the devotion of your chanting. So, through all the town of Navadvipa, the Harinam Sankirtan party was chanting and dancing. And then, at the end of the day, they returned to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "This Nityananda, we don't think he has arrived yet, because you're looking all day, you're asking everyone, you're chanting, you did not find him." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No, he's here. You go out again tomorrow." And you're not. So again, they searched through the whole town of Navadvipa, chanting, dancing, calling out his name, asking everyone, "Have you seen?" At night they came back. "My dear Lord, we cannot find this Nityananda, whoever he is." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave us all a great lesson. He said that you can never find Lord Nityananda. No one can find the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth reveals himself to you according to his sweet will. And what will attract his sweet will is your bhakti, your devotion. And the manifestation of that devotion is how sincerely you are calling out his holy name. If you call out his holy name with great devotion, then he reveals himself to you. Not that you find him. So tomorrow I will also come on the kirtan. And we will chant. And we will see if we can attract Darshan. So that day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees, they were going through all the streets and all the marketplaces of Navadvipa, and they were chanting in great ecstasy, crying out the names of Krishna, hoping to attract the divine mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And then they came to the house of Nandanacharya. And there Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped. And all the devotees began to chant with a great devotional spirit. And tears started flowing from the Lord's eyes as he cried out the names of Krishna. And at that time, out from the door of Nandanacharya's house was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared in this most magnificent incarnation of Srimad Nityananda. And in this earthly pastime, this was the first meeting of Lord Sri Gaurachandra and Lord Sri Nityananda. When they saw each other, there was an ecstatic reciprocation between their eyes and hearts that can never be understood by any mortal man. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the beauty and glory of Nityananda standing before him, he raised his arms and he cried out, "Jai Nithai!" And when Lord Nityananda saw the beautiful golden dancing form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu standing before him, with tears flowing from his eyes, his heart overbrimming with love, he cried out, "Jai Gauranga!" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu possible, upon hearing this, his ecstasy increased thousands of times. He opened his lotus mouth and cried out, "Shai Nipal!" He heard this most sweet transcendental vibration of the holy voice of Lord Gaurasundara, and seeing the trembling of his body, the ecstasy of Nityananda Prabhu increased thousands of times, and he lifted his arms and cried out, "Jai Gauranga!" And with their lotus arms, they embraced. And as they embraced, tears were shooting from their eyes. Their hairs, every hair on their body was standing on end. Their limbs were being disjointed. Their body was trembling. Their skin was erupting like volcanoes. And then they both sank unconscious in each other's arms. Then they both got up, and again, all the ecstatic symptoms, they began to embrace. Again unconscious, again conscious. They could not even say anything. This unlegible word, "Gagat, Gagat," of ecstasy coming from their mouth. And all the devotees were watching in a complete state of bewilderment. And then finally, after some time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda looked around at the bewildered observers, and they thought that we better control our ecstasy. So then the two brothers stood up, raised their arms, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called out, "Kirtan!" And the devotees began to chant, and the two brothers, Gaurani Pai, for the first time in this earthly leela, together they began to chant. And then the devotees, they were already intoxicated by seeing the beautiful dancing of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when he would dance in the company of Nityananda, it was overwhelming. When these two brothers danced together, it appeared that the whole world was about to just break. Their dancing was so sweet, so graceful, that anyone who would see would lose all ambitions for all material acquisitions in this world. Their only desire was simply to be Gauranga Singh, this dancing forever. And the love of God would fill their heart. So they began to dance. And from that day on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, every day, throughout the day, he would dance to the streets of Navadvipa. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came as Patita and Pavanavatara. He came especially to deliver the most fallen. And how did he do that? If you read the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will find that primarily Sri Chaitanya, he specialized in delivering very highly educated, sophisticated, high-ranked people. The most powerful of all Mayavadi sannyasis, the erudite scholar Prakasananda, and all of his jnani followers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through argument, logic, and through his divine effulgence, he converted them all. He converted Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the greatest scholar in the world. He converted King Prataparudra, a great and powerful king. Nityananda, his specialty was to go to the illiterate common people, wherever Nityananda would go and begin to preach, thousands of people would surrender to him. He would go to the most common, ordinary people, and he specialized in the most sinful, abominable, degraded people. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu primarily delivered that class of men through the agency of Nityananda Prabhu, his original expansion. And in this time in Kali Yuga, most of us are more qualified for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed, especially Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, that you go and whoever you see, you try to convince that person to take the name of Krishna. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu took this instruction as his life was said. And from early morning till night, he would go out when they were not performing the congregational kirtan. He would go out and he would go to every house. He would knock on the door. And when whoever would answer, he would say, "I am a beggar. I have come to beg charity of you. Kindly take the holy name of Krishna. Kindly grant my one desire. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." This world is a place of illusion. All of the promises for happiness, pleasure, security and comfort will all culminate in pain, distress, and death. There is only one thing of value in this world to be had, and that is the name of Krishna. Please understand that Lord Nityananda is the Supreme Lord. He is God incarnate. How merciful is this form of God? That God is coming to your door and begging you to chant the name of God. It is described that at times, Lord Nityananda, he would meet people who, upon seeing his humility, he was the embodiment of ultimate humility. When they would see his humility, their hearts would melt and they would immediately take to the chanting of Krishna's name. But others were very materialistic. And they just did not want to hear. It's like Prabhupada used to say, that we come to people and we ask them, "Chant, chant, chant." And their reply is, "Chant, chant, chant. I just don't have time. I'm such a busy man. I have a family to maintain. I have a job, education." So when people would answer Nityananda like this, he would fold his hands and he would plead, "Please, please, I beg you, chant the name of Krishna." And they would still refuse. He would get down on his hands and knees at their feet and beg them, "Please take the name of Krishna." And when they would still refuse, he would offer his full prostration before them, at their feet, with tears in his eyes, and beg, "Please, with all humility, I beg you, kindly take the name of Krishna and be saved from your miserable condition of life." Has anyone ever heard of God acting in such a way? God is coming to your door, laying flat at your feet, begging you to take the rarest gift that he has to offer. That is the supreme, unparalleled mercy of Lord Nityananda, of which we find no other avatar, no other achar, nothing. In all of the religious histories of the world, we find such mercy. this was his daily routine. So one day when Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda were under preaching mission, they happened to see two very lowly debauchees, Jagai and Madhai. It is a long story, but we will summarize as we have heard it from our Guru Maharaj. Jagai and Madhai were the sheriffs of the Navadvip Dham under the Chand Kazi, and therefore they had tremendous power and tremendous influence, and they utterly misused it, although they were actually from high birth. They were drunkards, they were murderers, they were rapists, they were robbers. What else? Whatever else you could think of that is abominable, they were that. It is described every sin that anyone could imagine. It was their quota to perform those every day before they went to sleep. Just like our sanctified devotees have a quota sometimes. Don't come back to the temple for this much. Well, Jagai and Madhai, between themselves, they have quota. We will not go home till we murder so many people, till we rape so many women, till we drink so many bottles of wine, till we rob so many people, till we beat so many children, till we massacre so many things. This is their daily life. And they were very angry and intolerant, very proud. So one day they were causing a horrible scene, blasphemy, insulting, committing violence to innocent people. So Bhaktivinoda was thinking that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Patita Pava. He has come to deliver the most fallen. So far, we've been helping him deliver so many fallen souls, but none of them are really very fallen. So we're not really giving so much credit to Lord Chaitanya. But these two people, they are really fallen. If they chant holy name Krishna, if they become pure devotees, then my Lord's fame will spread throughout the entire creation. You see, Lord Nityananda, the original spiritual master, he was always thinking in terms of glorifying his Lord. He was never thinking that he was the doer. Huh? We should learn from this example. Whatever service we are doing for our spiritual master, we should not do it thinking that we will gain some credit, that we will gain some respectability. But rather, we should be thinking that whatever benefits come from this, let that credit glorify my Guru. Because I am nothing. I am simply an instrument in his hands. The instrument expects no credit. It is the person who is manning the instrument. He gets all the credit. So Lord Nityananda was thinking like this. How I can show my love for Lord Chaitanya by glorifying his name, by getting these two people. So he went up to Jagai and Madhai, and with great humility, they were roaring, screaming, insulting, and with a very soft and humble voice, he said, "My two brothers, I love you very much. You are not these bodies. You are actually the spirit soul, and you are committing too many sins, and you have to suffer. But I have the means by which you can be happy. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And when this Jagai and Madhai heard this, to put it lightly, they were not very receptive. They roared in anger. "What is this nonsense? Chant the holy name of God. We're God." You see, not only were Jagai and Madhai horribly degraded, but they were also tantric yogis. By following the demoniac rules of tantricism, they had attained tremendously great mystic powers, and they used it all for the most diabolical reasons. So the neighbor thought to them was utterly disgusting. They looked at Nityananda Prabhu and said, "How dare you give us such an instruction? You are about to die at our hands." Nityananda Prabhu said, "Life or death, I am simply wanting you to be happy, Chatari." They became so furious, they roared like lions and went to kill Nityananda. And Haridas stopped. And they both ran away. And Jagai Madai began to run after them. And somehow or other, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur got away. Of course, there was a whole dialogue there. So then, that evening, they went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's residence. And they reported their daily functions. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear that they risked their life for this purpose. So that really confirmed Nityananda's conviction. "Tomorrow, I will get these two brothers to surrender to my Lord." So the next day, he approached Jagai Madai. Although many, many people warned, "Don't go. They are very dangerous. They won't listen. They will kill you." Even Haridas Thakur was saying, "This is insanity. Totally insane." Nityananda Prabhu would do many things that were incomprehensible. Therefore, sometimes he was called Amaduta. So, Nityananda Prabhu approached Jagai Madai. And he said, "My dear brothers, kindly chant the name of Krishna." And they looked at him. "You are back? How dare you come back? Today you die." So they took a clay pot, and with all of their power, they smashed the head of Lord Nityananda. And when they smashed his head, that blow was enough to kill 1,000 men. His head was cut open and blood began to profusely drip. His face, his head, all of his clothes were soaked in blood. Nityananda fell to the ground. And then he stood up. And with tears in his eyes, he spoke. He said, "My dear brothers, I don't mind that you have been like this to me. But there is one thing that causes me pain, that you are wasting your valuable human life, that you are engaging in so many sinful activities where you will have to suffer. So kindly chant the name of God. I beg, I plead with you." At that time, Madhai, when he saw the unlimited compassion of Nityananda Prabhu, his heart melted. But Jagai, he was ready to strike him again. But at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given the word of what had happened, and he came to the scene of the crime in a very angry mood. His eyes were red like fire, in rage. He lifted his finger and called for his immortal weapon, the Sudarshan Chakra, which severs the heads of the most powerful demons. And the Sudarshan Chakra appeared with the blazing effulgence of millions of suns. And the anger of the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was fit to burn the whole cosmic creation to ashes like his glance. When Jagai and Madhava saw this, they became petrified. They realized that death was upon them. And they fell down in an utterly weakened state of humility. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, now, due to offense against my devotee, you die. And Nityananda stepped between them. And he lifted his lotus hand to stop Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And with tears flowing from his eyes, he began to plead with the Lord. He said, my dear Lord, please do not kill them. They do not deserve to die. They deserve to be given your supreme mercy. They deserve to become your pure devotees. What they have done to me, who cares? Lord, in this age of Kali, everyone is more or less Jagai and Madhai. If you're going to kill them, you might as well destroy the whole universe. But we have come to uplift the most fallen with the weapon of the holy name. So please be kind upon us. When Jagai and Madhai saw this, how much compassion Nityananda had, their hearts melted. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them that unless you get the mercy of Nityananda, you'll never be delivered. So they fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda and prayed, begged that he be kind to them. They surrendered from the bottom of their hearts. And when Lord Chaitanya saw how they had accepted Nityananda's lotus feet, he said, today I will liberate you. But there are two conditions. That you constantly chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you never commit a sinful act again. So Jagai and Madhai became Paramahansas. And their fame was spread throughout the world. As a matter of fact, it is said that there is a disciple succession, Parampara, which is coming down through Jagai and Madhai, of pure devotees. So this is the mercy of Lord Nityananda. There is another story where one day Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu was in a beautiful little village on the bank of the Ganges, and that village is known as Panihati. And he was sitting with his friends, his associates, Gadadhara Das, Ram Das, and others, under a tree. At that time, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who was in a great fix, because he wanted to surrender everything to Lord Chaitanya. But his parents were very, very adamant that he stay home, take care of the family, and take over the business. Of course, his parents were multi-billionaires. They had tremendous influence, tremendous power. But the amazing thing is they were devotees, too. Raghunath Das Goswami's parents, Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, were actually very good devotees. They sponsored financially practically all the preaching activities and all the temple maintenance for all the devotees in Lord Chaitanya throughout Bengal. not an ordinary thing. But at the same time, they were very attached to their son. And it was not a very devotional attachment. So Raghunath wanted to leave home, leave wife, leave everything, and go become sannyasi with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they didn't like that. They wanted to keep him in material life. So there was 12 guards around him, day and night, making sure he did not escape. So one day Raghunath Das, along with his guards, was allowed to go have the darshan of Nityananda Prabhu. So from it, he was very humble. He was thinking that I am just a materialistic person, and I'm just so many bad associations. I'm too contaminated to even go near such a pure Lord as Nityananda. So from a distance, he offered his obeisances. And one of the friends, Nityananda, servants, said, Raghunath is over there offering obeisances from a distance, you see. So Lord Nityananda immediately got up and ran and grabbed Raghunath. And he said, you are a thief, a criminal. Raghunath, what did I do? He said, you are keeping a distance and hiding from me. This is the mentality of a thief. A thief hides and keeps distance. Therefore, you must be punished. Raghunath said, whatever is your mercy, my lord. He said, your punishment is, I want you to prepare a feast for all my devotees. I want you to prepare it out of chip rice. Chira. And I want you to get yogurt with sugar and bananas. Little ghee. And camphor also. First you soak the rice in water, Ganga water. And you soak other in milk. And then that rice, you put it in the yogurt. With the bananas and the sugar and the ghee and the camphor. And you serve it to all my devotees. And everyone else who comes. So Raghunath went to the village, the market, and bought all the chura, and all the yogurt, and all the milk, and all the bananas, and all the camphor, and all the everything. The news came out. And first they served Lord Nityananda and his associates, who were sitting under a tree on the bank of the Ganges. Lord Nityananda was very happy. He said, people say so many things about me, but actually I'm just a cowherd boy, and I'd like to take lunch with my friends on the bank of the river. So they began to have lunches. And then so many people came. Tens and thousands of people from all the villages were thinking, Nityananda's having feasts. So the whole hill was covered with people. The whole bank of Ganga was covered with people. And everyone had two little pots. One with chipped rice and condensed milk, and one with chipped rice and yogurt. Clay pots. And there was no room. So people started sitting on the rocks in the Ganges. And they all had their little pots. Condensed milk. Soon there were no more rocks. People were actually standing in the Ganges. Standing in the Ganges as the river was flowing, holding their two pots. One with condensed milk. This feast was so sublime, everyone was so happy in ecstasy, that Lord Nityananda, he was thinking, my God, if only Lord Chaitanya was here. And just at that moment, Lord Chaitanya appeared. Then Lord Nityananda, immediately, he started making all preparations, giving him two pots. One with condensed milk, and rice, chipped rice, and one with yogurt, and chipped rice. But you see, no one could see Lord Chaitanya except Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda was so happy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and he began to offer obeisances to him, he began to serve him, he began to dance around him, and everyone was looking like...
What to do?
Nityananda is very transcendental.
Yeah.
So then, everyone was enjoying very much. And then they began to have chanted, and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda began to dance together in great ecstasy. And all the devotees began to roar out the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the vibration filled the entire atmosphere. No one anywhere around could hear anything but the sound of Krishna's name. So then after Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda had finished their prasad, dancing, they took the remnants and gave it all to Raghunatha. And he took those remnants. Then they all went to the house of Raghava Pandit where they had kirtan throughout the night. And the next day, Raghunathas Goswami had to return to his village, Saptagrama. So before leaving, he approached Lord Nityananda. What was spoken between these two great personalities is most instructive and essential for all of us to understand. Raghunath bowed down and put his head at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu. And he began to speak. My dear Lord, it is well known by all intelligent men that no one can approach the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without attaining first your causeless mercy. I have tried and tried again to approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have tried and tried again and again to escape the clutches of this materialistic life that's all around me and attain the shelter of his lotus feet. But my conclusion is that my only hope is if you grant me your mercy. So please kindly deliver me from the hellish pit of material life. Free me, liberate me from these endless passions and attachments that are constantly contaminating my heart, and allow my consciousness to ever be fixed with love and devotion in the loving service of Lord Sri Gaurasundara and his devotees. This is my only prayer. And then Nityananda Prabhu spoke. He placed his hand on the head of Raghunathas. And he said, today you have prepared a very wonderful feast. So wonderful that Sri Gaurasundara himself has come to partake of it. Today you have pleased not only Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only myself, but you have pleased all the Vaishnavas. And then Lord Nityananda, he looked around at all the devotees present, and he said, all of you, kindly give your blessings to Raghunath, that he will soon be liberated from material entanglement and bondage. And all the devotees began to shower upon him their blessings. You see, Lord Nityananda was instructing us that without the blessings of the Vaishnavas, you will not get his blessings. So then Lord Nityananda spoke again. He said, you have achieved the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have achieved the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. You prepared such wonderful chip rice. Therefore, I bless you. And very soon, you will be free from all material attachments, from all entanglements, and from all bondage. And you will become one of the most confidential, intimate servants of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You will go to Jagannath Puri. He will put you under the care of his own personal secretary, Swarup Damodar, and there you will ever be absorbed, immersed in loving devotion to his lotus feet for the rest of eternity. And when Raghunath heard that benediction within his heart, he had great faith that it was true. Because the mercy of Lord Nityananda is more powerful than anything else that exists. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur has prayed, Haha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sugi Kripa Bole Kana Karo Ame Bhado Doki. That Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he is always in the ecstasy of transcendental happiness, dancing and feasting, and chanting the holy names. And by his kind mercy, he can deliver us from all sufferings and allow us to share this nectaring ecstasy that is his very nature. There is another story in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he was living in a small village in Bengal. And one day, one of the great associates of Nityananda Prabhu, Miniketa Narandas, who was also one of the cowherd boy friends of Krishna Balaram in Goloka Leela. This Miniketa Narandas came to the home, or to the village of Krishna Das. And the brother of Krishna Das, somehow or other, he was worshipping the deity, and he did not offer proper respect to Miniketana Ramdas. So that evening, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who is known just Krishna Das, of course, and his brother, they got in an argument. Why did you not offer respect to this representative of Nityananda Prabhu? And his brother said, I will worship Lord Chaitanya, but not this Nityananda. And Krishna Das said, you cannot worship Lord Chaitanya without Nityananda. It's the philosophy of half a hand. You know this philosophy? How many don't know the philosophy? The philosophy of half a hand. I'll get into a little philosophy also. You see, the front half of the hand eats, and the back half of the hand produces eggs. Huh? You all understand up to this point. So, the eggs you sell and make money, but the front half you have to pay money to get food to feed it. So therefore, the intelligent thing for any sane man would to cut the hand in half and throw away that front part and just keep the back part. Huh? And you get all the eggs and you don't have to invest anything. But somehow or other, by the arrangement of the Almighty, it just doesn't work out now. Because unless you have the whole hand, the whole thing is useless. So he said, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya are inseparable. Without the mercy of Nitai, there is no question of achieving the mercy of Gaura. And if you want to fight for the mercy of Gaura without Nitai, it is like half a hand. The whole thing is spoiled. And that night his brother fell down from all his spiritual practices due to the offense against Lord Nityananda. And that night Krishna Das Kaviraj went to take rest. And in a vision, during his sleep, Lord Nityananda appeared to him. He was very pleased. But he appeared in a most wonderful form. He had a bluish complexion. And he had eyes like blooming lotuses. And he was wearing a beautiful turban with a peacock feather. was swaying back and forth, and his eyes were rolling in ecstasy, and he was calling out, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And all cowherd boys and cows and the whole scene of Goloka Vrindavan was there. And Krishnadas Kaviraj saw this beautiful darshan of Lord Nityananda. He became